Chapter 24 Desperate Flight.
They can't get through that, Jarlaxle lamented, looking down at the courtyard, which teemed with demons of all shapes and sizes, and with dozens of dwarves all bunched together, likely more in fear of their own allies than of whatever was causing such a stir immediately within the keep, but still standing between Drizzt and freedom. Zacnaphane started forward over the parapet, but Jarlaxle caught him by the arm. You can't get through that either.
I'll not watch my son die, Zacnaphane said to him, and yanked his arm away.
Half the damned abyss is here, Jarlaxle whispered harshly. I'll not watch my son die.
Jarlaxle studied his companion's face, those eyes that did not blink, and the mercenary leader didn't even try to grab Zacnaphane's arm again. This was the man who had willingly placed himself upon Matron Malice's sacrificial altar and accepted the thrust of her dagger into his heart for Drizzt's sake. This was the man who had, in undeath, resisted Zinkarla, perhaps the only one to ever resist the servitude of that spell, and had leaped into acid rather than strike out at Drizzt.
"Get your tornado toy out," Zacnaphane said.
Jarlaxle shook his head. He had overtaxed the magical item, and it had little, if anything, left to offer. But of course, he was Jarlaxle. He had other toys.
We need a plan, Jarlaxle's fingers signed. I have one.
What?
Kill things,
Zacnaphane signaled back, and he moved along the wall toward the distant door to the keep itself. He paused and gasped, as did Jarlaxle, when that keep door blew open, exploded by a flying, pig-like demon creature that flopped and squealed as it bounced through the waiting monsters, more than one of which kicked, bit, stabbed, or punched the battered thing. Out behind the flying pig came a dwarf, wild-looking, snarling and screaming, swatting away everything nearby with a huge mace and spinning an even larger block of stone at the end of a rusty chain. Fearlessly, the fellow bore into the diabolical gathering. A gigantic Nalfeshni swatted the dwarf off his feet, but he scrambled back up before the beast could stomp him. Leaping up, he ran through the demon's legs, biting the monster's thigh for good measure as he passed. Out the other side, a Glabrezu snapped its claws upon him, and he took the brutal hits willingly in exchange for planting that mace squarely into the demon's skull, crushing it to the ground. Extracting, swinging wildly, kicking and spinning, he got free of the tangle and rushed to an open spot, and there found three dwarves with leveled crossbows waiting for him. Drizzt tried to keep up with the roaring Athrogate, but the dwarf was simply knocking monsters aside without regard for the fact that they would recover and retake the chase. Drizzt was more deliberate in his follow-ups, stabbing and crippling fiend and dwarf alike, then leaping past to pursue his friend. By the time he got near to the courtyard door, it was open and hanging, and he visually followed the path of carnage to spot Athrogate, who even then launched a dwarf through the air at the end of his makeshift flail. Athrogate stomped on a second dwarf, lying prone before him, then charged ahead, but skidded to a stop to swing out to his right, both hands on Skullcrusher, planting the weapon across the shoulders of a hellhound, splaying the beast's paws wide and flattening it to the ground.
"Oh, friend," Drizzt muttered at the sight of Athrogate, who had a crossbow bolt hanging from one cheek and two others sticking from his chest. Blood flowed freely down the dwarf's body, and although Drizzt knew it was the girdle that provided the strength, he was pretty sure Athrogate would be moving on rage alone should he lose that magical belt. He didn't have much time to contemplate it, though, as a second hellhound breathed a cone of fire at the dwarf. Unsurprisingly, Athrogate kept running and kept roaring, now with flames dancing on his clothing.
"Guinevar, I need you again!"
Drizzt called, and he paused just long enough for the gray mist to begin to coalesce before charging out the door and into the fray. Enemies came at the drow immediately, and from all angles, swords, hammers, claws, beaks, even tail whips from a lizard-like demon, rained down on Drizzt before he had gone three strides from the door, the path closing fast between him and Athrogate. He couldn't think of that, however, with the barrage upon him. He jumped, ducked, skipped, and worked his blades in a dizzying series of blocks and parries, fending, but ultimately retreating step by step back toward the door. He noted one large demon beginning to cast a magical spell, lightning crackling between its long clawed fingers.
With no other options before him, Drizzt went back into the keep and dove aside, just before a tremendous bolt knocked the door from its hinges, launching it across the room and taking half the jam with it. Enemies poured in, and Drizzt assailed them from the side, always attacking the leading dwarf or demon so they couldn't encircle him. He didn't need to hold them long, though. For as a pair of dwarves entered and faded off to the right, away from Drizzt, an uncoiled panther buried them beneath it, springing from them to leap into the chest of the Vrock, immediately trailing the duo. Drizzt sent his blades into a spin and slid them away, pulling Tolmeril from his magical buckle. With Gwenevar holding the line and him shooting over her, he could get to Athrogate, he dared to believe. But then he was scrambling again, falling away suddenly, for the wall beside him, the wall to the right of the door, was simply gone, vanished. In that single tumble, the agile drow had his bow away and his scimitars back in his hands, turning as he went over to face up to the large new opening, expecting a wave of enemies to simply bury him where he stood. Only two came in at him, but it might as well have been a dozen. For these demons Drizzt knew well. Indeed, he had defeated their namesake in the fight for Gontalgrim. 9 feet tall, the naga-like creatures seemed half-beautiful human woman, half-serpent, with a tail that could deliver a poison sting and 6 arms, each wielding a weapon of great magical power. A dozen baubles and necklaces jingled on each as they advanced side by side, their expressions hateful. Clearly, they knew their prey as well as he did them. They knew he was the drow who had defeated Marilith, the greatest of their kind. "Hold the door," Drizzt told Gwenevar, and the drow ranger went to secure the breached wall, breached by a passwall dwiarmer that wouldn't last for long, he hoped. If he could just keep the demons in the line of that missing wall, when the spell expired and the stone returned, he knew immediately that his efforts would fall short. He fell into his deepest warrior trance, giving himself over fully to his instincts, feeling, hearing, smelling the flow of battle, and just letting his primal self, this purest warrior he called the Hunter, take over. And now, with the added benefit of the balance and techniques he had learned from Grandmaster Kane, he felt more capable and confident as a warrior than he had in his entire life. But the Mareliths could each strike 7 ways, and these major demons knew each other well and worked brilliantly in tandem. For all the speed and beauty of his dance, Drizzt simply could not keep up. He got hit again. A tail stabbed him in the thigh just before he could drop that leg back, and he felt the burn of poison immediately.
"You will pay for the banishment of Marilith, Drizzt Stowarden," one of the 6-armed demons said with a hiss.
On the pair came furiously, 12 weapons stabbing and slashing, driving the now limping Drizzt backward. Out of the corner of his eye, he noticed another section of the wall go away, another hole appearing. And the thought to run out before it could crowd with enemies occurred to him, but only briefly before a massive fireball erupted over him and the Mareliths. He had lost wide puddles of blood, his skin was torn in 12 places and more, and he could feel the metallic tips of 2 crossbow quarrels tearing at his insides and scraping against his ribs with every gasping breath. But Athrogate wouldn't slow, and he barreled on, sweeping with his makeshift flail, crushing skulls with the mace named for exactly that, leaving a wake of shattered enemies. He heard the buzzing around him as he closed on yet another Vrock, and so was not caught completely off his guard when he swept the wallstone flail up high and found it caught by one of those horrid Khazmei demons. It tried to hoist him, and almost did, but the dwarf gave a mighty yank with his shackled arm, tugging the demon down to his level. There it turned to face him, prodding with its long proboscis. Athrogate prodded too, but with a powerful mace. Skullcrusher knocked that insect appendage aside and splattered the bulbous face of the half-housefly, half-human abomination. The flail fell free of the Khazmei's grasp as the demon flew back from Athrogate and bounced upon the ground. Any relief or satisfaction the dwarf might have felt, however, lasted only an instant before the powerful beak of the Vrock cracked him on the forehead and sent him flying backward into his backside. A gang of dwarves and demons leaped upon him to finish him, to crush him into the stone, and he had maybe seconds before he met his end.
"Amber!"
With that mighty howl, Athrogate got his feet under him and stood once more, shrugging and swatting aside the attackers. He couldn't see a thing for the blood that gushed down from his new wound in his forehead, but he didn't care. "Amber!" he roared relentlessly, and he swung and darted this way and that, sometimes hitting, more often missing, and staggering with every off-balance step. He felt the cool floor beneath him and surrendered to the stone, his body relaxing so completely that he felt as if he were sinking into the earth below. He sent his consciousness there as well, instantly, knowing that any sudden jerks or twists against the biting flames of the fireball would lift him and make him more vulnerable. Yet another of Grandmaster Kane's instructions saved Drizzt from serious injury, as the fireball barely touched him. His frostbrand scimitar would have minimized the flame, certainly, but this was a mighty blast and still didn't even singe his clothing. Though he was pleased with himself for that one instant, he grimaced as he bounced right back up, hearing a howl of pain from poor Guinevere off to his left. A cursory glance that way as he again engaged the Marilliffs made him wince all the more. Guinevere scrambled and thrashed wildly, driving a pair of demons back through the doorway. But the valiant panther, engulfed in flames, couldn't even see them likely, and was contorting against the biting fires as much as at her foes. Drizzt knew he had to send her home to the astral plane, even in this desperate situation. For the Marilliffs came on unbothered. They were creatures spawned in fire, creatures of fire, and they bathed in the fireball without the slightest bother. Drizzt parried a flurry of blows from the creature on his left, then swung to the right to deflect a vicious stab from a short spear, and on that turn he managed a glance, thinking to escape through the new hole. But that hole was gone. "Go home, Gwen," he whispered, fully aware that he would soon be overrun from that direction, even if he somehow managed to hold off the fury of the two Marilliffs. There was a finality in Drizzt's voice, thinking he'd never see his beloved panther friend again. He thought of his other friends, too, of Brunner and Regis and Wolfgar, and of Jarlaxle, and mostly of Catti Bree and Zacnaphane, wondering if his father would even bother to know Drizzt's son or daughter. Yes, he thought of the child, his child, whom he'd never see. "No," Drizzt growled. He couldn't let that happen. He had to find a way past this. Even with the hunter, even with his training at the Monastery of the Yellow Rose, even with all the tricks and magic, his new sword of mighty combined enchantments, his deadly bow, even with all that, Drizzt had no chance of winning here. But neither would he lose, he decided. He could not lose. The tunnels. He had to escape into the tunnels behind him, down into the winding ways of the dungeons. He thought of poor Athrogate, but he couldn't see the black-bearded dwarf anymore, couldn't hear him yelling for Amber. Drizzt recognized that his friend was almost certainly already dead, and even if not, there was no way he could hope to get to Athrogate's side. "I rescued you, only to lead you to your death," he thought in a silent benediction. And then he fought to make sure he didn't also die. His blades worked in a blur, fending off the demons, and at the same time, Drizzt flexed the muscles of his leg, seeking the poison, feeling it and rejecting it, pushing it back out through the wound, denying it deeper access. He had to go, had to turn and flee at once. But how? He swept Vidranath across, left to right, fully extended to buy him a bit of space from the Marilliffs. He meant to turn and run right behind that slash, but was startled as the blade came across one way and a dark, somersaulting form came back the other way, just over it. Before he could even register that, almost simultaneously, another form came from that same direction, an avian form that had Drizzt first thinking that another Vrock demon had come in through that second hole. But the creature ran behind him, not near him, and did not strike in its pass. It all came together in Drizzt's sensibilities, an eye blink later, when he came to understand that the first tumbling dark form was Zacnaphane, his father, who was now standing beside him, sword thrusting and whip snapping at the Marilliff on the left. He was bolstered by the fact that now they were two, but no, not two, three, he realized, when a line of magical daggers flew past him to strike at the sister demons. And even three was wrong, because that blur of feathers belonged to a giant bird. Not a Vrock demon, but a huge diatrima summoned from the feather on Jarlaxle's hat. The magical pet met the charge of a Vrock through the door where Guinevere had been, their powerful beaks smashing together with a resounding crack. It had all happened so fast, in a mere instant, but that distraction might have been the end of Drizzt had not Zacnaphane worked his blade and whip so marvelously before his son, driving back the nearest Marilith, and had not Jarlaxle sent those daggers flying from his magical bracer, which never seemed to run out of the missiles. Working to recall the discipline of the hunter, Drizzt tried to find a rhythm with Zacnaphane, feeling the movements of the weapon master beside him, seeking a complementary style. And sure enough, they were soon fighting almost as one. It all seemed so natural to him. To them both, he knew, as the harmony grew so quickly between their movements, as if the last 200 years had not even passed, as if they were training side by side back in House Doerden and Menzo Baranzon. A lightning bolt shot through the door, and both the Vrock and Jarlaxle's pet bird shrieked. But the Vrock, unlike the bird, was not stunned or surprised, and used the distraction to drive its beak into the Diatrima's skull, killing it instantly. "Jarlaxle, the door!" Drizzt yelled, still working his blades defensively, fending off the press of the Marilith barrage. He parried with short, up-angled movements, his swords tapping, 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 until he saw an opening. Then brought icing death suddenly down and around, then up and over from the outside, then down again over the Marilith's arms, forcing her to drop her upper limbs lower and fade back with a slither. Not fast enough, though, as Zacnaphane's whip snapped over Drizzt's descending arm, slashing across the demon's eyes and forcing her back still more. "A pass wall," Drizzt explained quietly. "Drive them into it." He glanced to the left, expecting a rush of monsters from that open door. But he shouldn't have doubted Jarlaxle. The mercenary leader's response came in the form of a flying glob of sticky green goo that slammed the Vrock and threw it back to the threshold, catching the demon on the door jamb. A second glob followed, further sealing the door, though it surely wouldn't hold for long. "Drive them," Zacnaphane said to Drizzt, pressing forward suddenly, an obvious move, as other monsters were trying to get in through the opening behind the twin Mariliths. He cracked his whip 3 times in rapid succession to get both Mariliths leaning back over their snake-like tails, then brought the whip expertly into a roll, setting it on his belt and drawing his second sword too quickly for the demon in front of him to take advantage of the exchange. Now 2 swords and 2 scimitars rang out against the fury of 12 demonic weapons, Drizzt and Zacnaphane working as if they were one being. Drizzt stabbed Vidranath out at the demon in front of his father, and when that Marilith sent 2 blades out to parry, Zacnaphane brought his right-hand sword across inside the demon's opening arms. She got one of those arms out too wide for him to score a hit, but the weapon master's blade dug hard at the other forearm. The Marilith howled in pain, and her weapon dropped to the stone. Hardly slowing, Zacnaphane brought both his blades down and under the predictable forward slash of the demon's 2 good weapon arms on that side, her left, and then came back across the other way, forcing backhand parries, turning her just a bit away from her partner. At that same moment, Drizzt brought Vidranath across with a mighty slash, not to score a hit, but simply to force the Marilith before him to follow the blade. A full spin, with 1 step to the left as he came around, had Drizzt right beside Zacnaphane, and had Drizzt's opponent similarly turned out and away from her partner. Now the 2 drow warriors drove hard, side by side, forcing a retreat. "It's a pass wall, Dwyamir," Drizzt yelled to Jarlaxle. "Well, why didn't you tell me that earlier?" came the mercenary leader's response from behind. Just a pair of heartbeats later came a better response, a wave of rippling magical energy that reminded Drizzt of the feeling he would experience on a beach when the tide rushed back out. The Mariliths clearly recognized it too, as they hissed and screeched and fell all over each other, trying to get back out through the open wall. One even threw aside some weapons and grabbed a pair of lesser demons, yanking them back over her as if trying to block falling stones. But these returning stones weren't falling, they simply were. For where those stones had once been, the magical pass wall had simply vanished them. Where those stones were missing, Jarlaxle's Dwyamir of dispelling magic had simply put them back, and anything caught in that area of rematerializing stone was simply crushed to nothingness. A pair of weapons clanged to the floor in front of the 2 warrior drow, one of those weapons still in the grasp of the hand of a now-severed arm. The end of a Marilith's snake-like tail lay there as well, no longer attached but still dripping that nasty venom, and there, too, lay the severed upper halves of the lesser beings, tossed back by one of the Maraliths, quite destroyed. Drizzt and Zacnaphane fell back, panting.
Athrogatus was out there, Drizzt yelled.
Ambergris, Jarlaxle asked. Drizzt shook his head.
Then out there we must go, Jarlaxle decided. Summon your mounts, both of you. We'll not get through that door, Drizzt observed,
and indeed, the goo was giving way, and it looked like a horde of monsters was about to burst into the room.
We'll make our own door, Jarlaxle insisted with a tight smile, and he launched yet another glob of goo at the keep's portal to hold it just a bit longer.
They summoned their mounts, and before Drizzt could question further, Jarlaxle walked his nightmare over to the other side of the room, near to where he and Zacnaphane had entered the keep. In one hand he held that strange black cloth, which both Drizzt and Zacnaphane knew well, and in the other a new toy. It seemed to be a short club or scepter, or perhaps a pennant made of some black metal but covered in a cloth striped red and white.
"Be quick," he told his allies. "A straight run across the courtyard, for Athrogate and with him to the front door."
He threw that strange cloth-like disc at the wall, and it elongated and widened as it went, landing against the stone surface and creating an opening. Zacnaphane, on his hellbore, was first through, Drizzt close behind on Andahar, leaping out into the courtyard, into the swarm of surprised demons and dwarves, mostly the latter over at this side. Zacnaphane seemed more intent on running them all down than on escaping, his wild mount jumping and throwing small fireballs, spitting out in all directions from its pounding hooves. Wholly without fear, the magical mount and its rider charged ahead, scattering enemies. Drizzt spotted Athrogate off to the left, near the center of the courtyard. He started to yell to his friend, planning to alert his other two companions while putting up his bow at the same time to aid the dwarf from afar. But the words stuck in his throat, and his bow lowered. For Athrogate went up into the air, thrashing and screaming, spraying fountains of blood, caught in the grasp of a Khazneh demon, and so quick was its ascent that even if Drizzt had somehow managed to shoot the wretched demon off the dwarf from this distance, the fall would have likely doomed the already mortally wounded Athrogate.
Right on, he heard Jarlaxle implore from behind, and he glanced back to see the mercenary pulling the hole from the wall and tucking it away as he galloped his nightmare to catch up.
Jarlaxle lifted that other item, tilted it away from his body, and did something. Gave a command word or pressed a hidden button, perhaps. And the flag unfurled. Except it wasn't a flag, but a circular shield of cloth, held wide and supported by a series of thin metal spokes. It wasn't fully flattened perpendicularly to the staff holding it, but still very round and quite wide, with a broad white stripe at its perimeter, a red stripe beside that, then a second white stripe, bordering a circle of red in the middle. Jarlaxle brought it back over him, holding it in his right hand, but angling it out to the left, toward the mass of enemies, including a contingent of dwarves leveling crossbows at the intruders. They fired as one, 20 quarrels speeding at Jarlaxle, and a couple at Drizzt, and more from up ahead flying in at Zacnaphane. Drizzt felt the sting of one across his chest and expected more, and expected, too, that Jarlaxle and his nightmare would be struck a dozen times. But Jarlaxle came galloping past, barely harmed, and Drizzt saw more than a dozen of the bolts stuck into his cloth shield. Even as Drizzt gaped at that strange sight, another quarrel flew ahead, aimed for Zacnaphane, but it veered in the air, turned as if guided, and it too struck Jarlaxle's cloth barrier.
What? Drizzt gasped, running Andahar to pace the nightmare.
Missile attractor, Jarlaxle replied. Useful in the rain, too. The absurdity of that statement was lost on Drizzt, though, as he looked ahead to his father, charging full speed for the closed outer gate, a hulking Glabrezu demon blocking the way. As he neared it, Zacnaphane rolled off the back of his hellbore, hitting the ground but coming right back to his feet, swords in hand. The boar ran right between the Glabrezu's long legs, smashing headlong into the door, splintering wood and knocking the thing from its hinges. And the distraction was just enough for Zacnaphane, who leaped into the four-armed demon's reach, inside the bite of its pincer arms, his sword stabbing and slashing with brilliant accuracy.
"Aside!" Drizzt yelled, and Zacnaphane dropped low under a clawing swipe, then leaped out to the left, just avoiding a snapping pincer.
The Glabrezu started to turn to follow, and only then realized its doom as Andahar's long horn speared into its chest, driving it backward and out the door. As the unicorn galloped along, Drizzt reached his hand out to the side to Zacnaphane, who sheathed a sword, caught his son's hand, and swung up behind him with easy grace. Out they went, Andahar snorting and flailing its head, throwing the murdered demon aside. Jarlaxle was then beside them, the hell bore up in front, snorting crazily and leading the way across the stones. A fireball engulfed the trio, and a lightning bolt cut between them, stinging them all. But they held on and kept running, and heard the buzzing behind them. "Switch," Drizzt said, and he lifted his right leg over Andahar, riding side-saddle a couple of strides, then taking Zacnaphane's left hand with his right across his body. Drizzt tucked Tolmeril in tight, then dropped to the ground, turning as he went, Zacnaphane tugging to help the spin. Drizzt hit the ground and leaped right back up, throwing his left leg around and over Andahar's haunches, now sitting backward behind his father, one of Zacnaphane's hands grabbing the back of his belt to help hold him in place. Drizzt lifted his bow. Out over the wall and down by the coast, he spotted the Kazmay holding Athrogate. The dwarf's makeshift flail swung up and then over the fly-like demon and seemed to catch its wings, for the thing faltered, its flight suddenly erratic, then non-existent. Drizzt winced as his friend and the demon fell from the sky, out of sight, to the rocks along the water's edge. The ranger shook it off. The time to grieve would come later. He set an arrow and let fly, then another and another, many more in rapid succession, streaks of silvery lightning reaching out and high at the pursuing flight of Kazmays. Most of his shots missed, bouncing as he was on the speeding unicorn, but those that struck home took down the targeted demons, and the flight inevitably began to thin, and even with their aerial speed, the Kazmay gained little ground on the thundering magical mounts. Drizzt wanted to yell to his companions to turn about, that they might try to find the fallen Athrogate. But as the surge of battle eased from his limbs and veins, the ranger realized he was hurt a lot worse than he had believed. With a crossbow quarrel stuck into his chest, several deep cuts along his sides from the Maraliths, and a large lump of swelling in his leg from the sting of the poisoned tail. Worse, he felt Zacnaphane's hold slacken until his father slumped behind him, and only his quick reaction caught the weapon master before he simply tumbled from the unicorn. Wise Andahar began to slow. Jarlaxle rushed back beside them. "Keep going," he implored, and while they cantered on, Drizzt spun back around and Jarlaxle helped him set the unconscious Zacnaphane across Andahar's strong shoulders. Drizzt grabbed the unicorn's thick mane and kicked Andahar's flanks. Indeed, they couldn't stop, for the Kazmays were still there, though hanging back, and now a great pack of hellhounds was coming in pursuit. So on they galloped, three drow on two magical mounts, led by a riderless hellbore. They made the tradeway and thundered along to the north, and the pursuit stayed hot long into the night. The trio didn't stop until the following morning, when they came to the light forest around the halfling town of Bleeding Vines.